This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We love you. God, I ask that you would take these moments and you would speak through them. That, Father, if people are here and they're hurting in their physical body, if they're hurting in their mind, in their soul, in their emotions, God, you know every situation, and I thank you, and I ask you to bring healing. I thank you that your power, your anointing, still destroys every yoke of bondage and removes every burden. Father, if there's heaviness, I pray that your anointing would begin to lift that off of people in Jesus' name. Pray that answers would come and solutions to problems would begin to come. And God, we look to you and we love you. God, we give you the praise. Our expectancy is from you that you're going to do good things, that we're going to leave this place changed into your image. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. All right. So here we go. Here's the title of the message. The title of the message this morning is Before Breakthrough. Before Breakthrough. Because before breakthrough can happen in your life, there's going to have to be some things that take place within us and within our lives, some things that we can do to see that breakthrough take place. And so this is really interesting to me. If you think about breakthrough, every breakthrough that has ever happened or ever occurred throughout history has happened as a result of a discovery, right? That when breakthroughs happen in all the different fields, medical field, all these different fields, it happened, the breakthrough happened as a result of a discovery. Years ago, there was a polio epidemic. I remember talking to my grandparents and about how many people would feel healing tents and healing revival. The evangelists would come and people would just rush these tents because people had polio and it was incurable and it was killing people. It was an epidemic. But yet they begin to search and they begin to find a discovery brought a breakthrough, a medical breakthrough to where they found the cure for polio. And now humanity doesn't have to worry about that anymore if you have the cure. And so the discovery led to the breakthrough. Same thing with the bubonic plague. That was a killer as well, but the discovery led to a breakthrough. So isn't it amazing that necessity will cause you to start searching, and the search will lead to a discovery, and the discovery leads to a breakthrough? Many times what we need to hear, we're not always willing to hear in the moment, but then necessity shows up in our lives. And when necessity shows up in our lives, we begin to search, we begin to look, and we begin to discover some things and answers. All of a sudden, those answers, that discovery leads to a breakthrough in our lives, right? So it's the same thing with a power being harnessed in our world, right? That this breakthrough of power being harnessed in our world happened as a result of a discovery of electricity. It's funny, though, the electricity and the power has always been there, but the breakthrough occurred when someone discovered how the power works. Right? So discovery precedes breakthrough. And it's always been this way, but I like to say it like this. Whenever there is a discovery, there's always a breakthrough. Come on, catch this. Well, I'm going somewhere this morning. Discovery can happen this morning in this service. God can begin to show things to you, reveal things to you, and you begin to discover things about what God has done, who God is, what God has placed on the inside of you. And from that discovery this morning, you can leave this place changed. You can leave this place and have a breakthrough. How many of you, come on, we're all Christians in here, or many of us are Christians, and some of you, this may be your first time. We say thank you for coming. You can belong before you believe. But wherever you find yourself in that continuum, here's the thing. All of us have areas in our lives where we need breakthrough. What is breakthrough? Breaking out of one level into another level. Breaking out of limitation into where God has for you. Breaking out of being limited into a place of surplus and bounty and success and advancement in your life. There's areas in all of our lives, whether it be in marriage, whether it be in finances, whether it be relationally, whether it be mentally. We all have areas in our lives that need breakthrough. And God is saying that discovery precedes breakthrough. You know, it's a funny thing that when I was dating my wife, you know, she was actually in Oklahoma. She was going to Bible school there, and I was here. And we had this conversation. And you know, it's funny the way that it all happened. You know, Christian girls can be a little harder to get. You know, and so you know, Christian girls can be a little bit harder to get. And there's a different thought and a different theory on pastors' daughters, but I'm going to leave that one alone. But anyway, Christian girls can be a little harder to get. And so one day, you know, in order to get Christian girls, you got to have Christian game. Right, you got to have Christian game. You can't just walk up and be like, hey, girl, you know what I'm saying? She's going to be like, oh, no, you don't. Wait for my Boaz. Hallelujah. So, no, you don't. Come try to holler at me. Get that. You know, I don't want no scrub. Come on, TLC, right? Right? Hanging out your best friend's ride. Trying to holler at. Y'all don't know? Y'all don't know about that, right? But she's there, and so I knew, okay, I can't just walk up to this girl and not have something going on, you know. I got to have Christian game. So I walked up to Liz. I was like, you know, Liz, I was reading the Bible in the book of Numbers, and I realized that yours wasn't in there, so if you would, you got to work with what you got. Come on, somebody. I'm totally just playing. I didn't say that to her. I didn't say that to her. Your pastor's not that cheesy. All right. So, but anyway, we're dating and we're talking on the phone, and it's during that incredible phase of discovery, right? That you're just asking each other questions. You're finding things out about her personality and who she is as a person, and it's just incredible. And the more you find out, the more you love. And you know, it's during that time where you hang up after talking for an hour, and then 5 minutes later you call her. Hey, what are you doing, girl? What are you doing? And she's like, I just talked to you 5 minutes ago. I'm like, I know. Did you miss me? Come on, somebody, right? Right. And so, but I remember distinctly one of these conversations that we had, and I was asking her questions, and we're going back and forth on what we like, and you know, likes and dislikes and preferences, and you know, these kinds of things. And it was beautiful because I was discovering all these things. But she didn't know. I was here in California. She was in Oklahoma. But I was taking notes. I was taking notes because I was discovering very valuable, intimate information that would lead to a breakthrough in the future of our relationship. Discovery of her favorite flower and her favorite color and what movies she likes and where she likes to eat and what she likes to do with her free time and these kinds of things. All those, I was writing these. She had no idea. She had no idea. But later, all those discoveries led to greater breakthroughs. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because discovery will always lead to breakthrough in our lives. And so let's read this text together, because I'm going to do a little bit of review and then we're going to get into some new territory. John chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9 in the Passion Translation. Then Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Aramaic, the House of Loving Kindness, or in the King James, the Pool of Bethesda. All right. And this pool was surrounded by 5 covered porches. Hundreds of sick people were lying there on porches, the paralyzed, the blind, and the crippled, all of them waiting for their healing. I also think that's a picture of our culture. People are hurting. People don't know how to get well. They're just, the culture is just a bunch of people that are stuck, and they don't want anyone to know that they're stuck. They post pictures on Instagram that shows the exact opposite. I'm not stuck. I'm winning. I'm grinding. I'm thriving. All I do is win, win, win all the time. But inside, they're stuck. They're paralyzed. There's things going on the inside of them. And how many of you know this whole world, this generation needs Jesus? Come on, somebody. For an angel of God would periodically descend into the pool and stir the waters, and the first one who stepped in the pool after the waters were swirled would instantly be healed. Now there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years, lying among the multitude of the sick. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that the man had been crippled for a long time. So Jesus said to him, "Do you truly long to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, there's no way that I can get healed." Isn't it amazing? Jesus asked him if he wanted to, and the man started responding with excuses. He didn't even answer if he wanted to. He just told Jesus why he couldn't. I wonder if God is asking the question, do you want breakthrough this morning? But in our minds, the devil's trying to put all kinds of excuses of why you can't see breakthrough in your life. Sir, there's no way I can get healed, for I have no one who will lower me into the water. When the angel comes, as soon as I try to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up." Someone say, "Stand up." "Stand up. Pick up your sleeping mat and you will walk." Immediately he stood up and he was healed. So he rolled up his mat and he walked again. Wow. So come on. That's awesome. How many of you know Jesus healed back then, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever problem you have in here this morning, Jesus is here to be the solution and the healing to your issue. Somebody say amen. So I talked a little bit last week that this man, we saw a couple of things. First of all, that he missed his turn, right? And many of us in life, we felt like he saw different people jumping in and being healed, jumping in being delivered, jumping in being free from the limitation, free from the thing that was bringing their life pain. For years and years, 38 years, he saw other people jump in and be healed. Other people were seizing the opportunity. They weren't missing their turn, man. They maximized their moment, and they got what it was that they were believing for, what they were expecting, yet this man had not. He felt like he had missed his turn, and he missed several turns. Have you ever felt like you missed your turn? Missed your turn to be the kind of husband you want to be, missed your turn to be the kind of wife you want to be, missed your turn to have financial success in your life, missed your turn to see the advancement that you want your life, to miss the turn for your dream to come to pass, missed the turn for true happiness and fulfillment in your life. If we're honest, we have all felt at different times in our life like we missed our turn. But Jesus shows up in the middle of this man thinking, I missed my turn. It is too late. Because here's the thing. When you miss your turn, it's not just you that begin to doubt. All of a sudden, the devil comes in, right? The devil comes in and says, you missed your turn, and it's too late now. Y'all, listen, everybody else, they're getting it. But you or other people, you're not. Here's the thing. You got to settle for a limited, unenjoyable kind of existence. You missed your turn, and the devil comes, and he puts these kinds of thoughts in our minds. But Jesus shows up right in the middle of, after this guy missed his turn, missing turn after turn after turn, Jesus shows up and said, hey, listen, when I become a part of the equation, you may have missed your last turn, but you're not about to miss your next turn. Come on, is anybody grateful that Jesus is the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance? Devil, I may have missed my last turn, but I'm not about to miss my next turn. In fact, devil, I prophesy my next turn is going to be my greatest turn. Come on, somebody. Come on, you're hearing me, but you ain't hearing me. I need somebody with some faith on the inside of them that says, devil, I missed my last turn, but my next turn is going to be my greatest turn. Come on, if you believe it, somebody give him some praise in here this morning. Come on, this man proves it. Everybody else saw an angel, but he got to see Jesus. He missed a bunch of turns, but his next turn was his greatest turn. Woo! Somebody say yes. The next thing I want to talk about, and this is kind of what God began to really breathe on, was this. This man at the Pool of Bethesda, 38 years been lying there, he lived a life that afforded him very limited opportunity. And when I began to talk about this last week, I think they have that back there, they can put that up. I began to talk about this last week, that this man lived a life that afforded him very limited opportunity. God began to speak to my heart about limited opportunity and what it tries to create within people. And so you know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe you felt like if you just had a little bit more opportunity in your life, that your life could go to a greater level of success and fulfillment and power, right? But maybe you haven't had much opportunity, so life seems stifled and disappointing, right? Seems unfair that others have more opportunity than you do in career, in their finances, right? In friends, in family. It doesn't matter where it is. We've all felt like, man, if I just had the opportunity that they had, I could have moved forward with my life as well. It's handed to them on a silver platter, it seems, and yet here we are, different ones of us, seem like we may be struggling for everything that we have. And I want to talk in a moment about limited opportunity, the lies that the enemy wants you to believe about it. But before I get there, I want to talk about David. Someone say David. King David, the psalmist David, who authored by the help of the Holy Spirit over 100 of the psalms that you read in your Bible, right? This man that was mightily used of God, this man who became king. He was the greatest, became the greatest king outside of Jesus that the world has ever known. But yet this same man, David, he was, before he was a psalmist and before he was king, he was ostracized, he was rejected by his own father, he was marginalized, and he was given far fewer opportunities than the brothers that lived in his own house. And so imagine that, right? That king, that God sends Saul, the prophet, into Jesse's house, and Jesse is the father of David and all of his brothers. And when the anointing is going to happen for the next king of Israel, God sends Saul to anoint the next king. Someone say the next. I feel like I'm talking to the next in here this morning. Hallelujah. I'm talking to the next anointed, the next. Come on. So I don't have time to talk about it, but I do believe I'm talking to the next generation that's going to take the power of God into your job, take the power of God into your business, into your corporation, and see great things happen. But God sends Saul to anoint the next, and Jesse doesn't even invite David into the anointing ceremony. Can you imagine what that does? I mean, we talk about daddy issues. Come on, somebody. Right? This guy, I mean, his daddy didn't even bring him into the ceremony. In other words, bring all your sons. He brought all of them except David. They all had opportunity, and David had limited opportunity. He got left in the field. Can you imagine what that did to David? But David shows us something absolutely incredible, that you may have limited opportunity. You may have been left out and rejected. But here's a side note. Many times, God uses those that have been rejected and forgotten to win the greatest victories. David wasn't even invited into the party, yet he's there in this limited opportunity. But here's the thing. David shows us something absolutely amazing, right? David shows us this. David had very little opportunity while his brothers had opportunity. Here's the other thing. When they went to battle, all the brothers got to go. They were on the front lines of the battle. They could have moved the battle with the Goliath and the Philistines. They could have moved that battle forward. They could have won the victory, yet they didn't do very much with the opportunity that they had. David is over here wishing that he had an opportunity, right? He's left out. He's forgotten until one day Jesse sends David to the front lines with cheese and bread, and then David stands there, limited opportunity, but all of a sudden, he found out, even with limited opportunity, if God has anointed you, even with limited opportunity, here's what David shows us. Jesse sent David to the battle, not even to get in the battle, just go take cheese and bread. You're going to be a waiter for your brothers. Go take them lunch. David showed up to the battle just simply obeying small things that his father asked him to do. What if we're missing our moment because we're refusing to obey our Father in the small steps? But I have found that when I obey my Father in the small things that He tells me to do, it sets the stage for my greatest victories. David got there carrying cheese and bread, but he ended up killing the giant. Come on, somebody. Obeying your Father in the small things opens the door for the huge things. Here's what David shows us. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? David shows us this. I'm going to go to the battle, but even though I've got limited opportunity, if God anoints you, you can do more with less. Oh, Jesus. You can do more with less than everybody else who had all the opportunity, but if God anoints you, oh, come on, somebody. I need to talk to somebody in celebration that says, I feel like I have had limited opportunity. I've been marginalized. I haven't been given the same opportunity as everybody else. I feel like I'm serving cheese and bread and everybody else is winning battles. That's okay, baby, because all you need, if God be for you, nobody can be against you. And if you are anointed, God is going to anoint you to do more. More with less. Oh, come on. I may not have the education that you have. I may not have all the money that everybody else has. I may not have come from the right kind of background. But what I do know is that God can anoint me to do more with less. Oh, somebody ought to go ahead and get happy. Because if you have less right now, you're a perfect candidate for God to do a whole lot more with you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so let's talk about this limited opportunity. Here's the lies of the enemy about limited opportunity. Wow. Limited opportunity says this. Here's what the devil wants you to think about limited opportunity, if you've experienced that, which we all have in different areas of our life, different times of our life. Limited opportunity should foster the idea that you are not valuable. Because if you were valuable, others would identify the value, recognize it, and give you opportunity for advancement. Why are others recognized and given opportunity? Because the devil wants you to think because they have more value than you. Okay? Why do others own a home in Salinas? Why do others have the education to make the kind of money where they can own more than one home here in this city where it costs $47 million to buy a house? Right? That it is crazy. We live in Salinas, not San Jose or Silicon Valley, yet it costs almost as much to live here as it does anywhere else. And that's okay as long as God is anointing you. Limited opportunity. If you were valuable, other people of prestige and success and authority, they would recognize it and they would give you opportunity for advancement. Other people are seeing opportunity, they're seeing advancement, but you are not. So it must then mean that you don't have the same kind of value. Am I talking to anybody in here? That other people have a different kind of value because they've had more opportunity and they've seen more success. But here, that's the lie. The lie is, if you've had limited opportunity, it's because you're not valuable. Here's the truth. The truth is, sometimes value and treasure within people is simply hidden and it must be uncovered. Let me prove it to you. Matthew 13, 44. Heaven's kingdom realm can be illustrated like this. A person discovered that there was hidden treasure in a field. Upon finding it, he hid it again. Because of uncovering such great treasure, he was overjoyed and sold everything that he possessed to buy the entire field just so he could have the treasure. Here's the revelation. You are the field. You are the field, and Jesus saw treasure in you 2,000 years ago when he got on the cross and he said, let me go ahead and pay the highest price ever paid for anything. You know why you're valuable? Because the highest price ever paid for anything was paid for you. You're more valuable than any island. You're more valuable than any priceless painting. You're more valuable than any awesome car, because the highest price ever paid for anything was paid for you. Jesus saw the treasure in you and he said, let me sell everything I've got. I'm going to get on this cross. I'm going to take stripes upon my back. I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to defeat every demon. I'm going to defeat every devil. Can I preach Jesus just for a moment? Can I preach the good news of the gospel? Can I still preach to you that Jesus is the answer for sickness? He is the answer for depression. He is the answer for oppression. He is the answer for drug addiction. He is the answer for insecurity. And 2,000 years ago, he said, I see treasure in you. I'm about to get on a cross that you deserve to get on, and I'm going to become your substitute. Let me finish preaching. And 3 days later, a day later, they put him in a tomb. But then 2 days later, after they put him in a tomb, all of a sudden, hell began to shake. They were throwing a party because they thought they won. I feel like prophesying to somebody. If you feel like you're losing right now, if you feel like you're losing the battle, like it ain't going to be seen, that's exactly what hell thought. We won. We killed the Son of Glory. But on the third day, Jesus rose again with all power in his hand, came out of the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and said, I have the keys of death and of hell. I see treasure in you. I paid the price for you. Now don't you dare live a life that is cheap. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're grateful for everything that he did, give him a shout of praise in here. Hey! Woo! Hallelujah. I didn't even need my rag first service. I need it now. Someone's like, is that a do-rag? No, it ain't. My. 2 Corinthians 4:7. You have treasure in you. You have value in you. It just needs to be uncovered. It just needs to be discovered. Hence, before breakthrough, something must be discovered. Oh, come on, man. This morning is about discovery. There's more in you than you realize. The devil has tried to shroud it. Life has tried to pile dirt on top of it. But the treasure and the value is still there. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We are like common jars of clay that carry this glorious treasure within. Obviously, speaking of the treasure of Jesus, but also the treasure that Jesus puts inside of you. Value, now listen to this. If you've experienced limited opportunity, all you need is value. You have the value, but now you need to add value to situations that you're in. CEOs and higher-ups in the corporate world are simply looking for people who can add value to their company. When they find someone who can add value to their company, no matter the race, no matter the size, no matter the sex, they will hire that person because it's not about who you are, what you look like, it's what you can add to that situation. And what I'm trying to tell you is that God wants to bring value out of you that you didn't even know was in you. The Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can think or imagine. There is so much more in you. We just got to allow God to help us discover that treasure. And then, oh, hear me. Value always brings opportunity. Value always brings opportunity. Oh, God. In the dating world, it gets funny when we talk about this, right? In the dating world, I'm not just going to date her or him, if you're a female, because they look good. I'm not saying I'm dating somebody ugly to me. Okay? Everybody's beautiful to somebody. Come on, somebody. If they're not attractive to you, you better pray. But they love the Lord so much. Pray. Because if they ain't attractive to you, they love the Lord is only going to go so far. Turn the lights out, baby. Turn the lights out. Amen. Hey, man, there's a guy in the back with a stone face. I just got a smile right there. I just got a smile. In the dating world, you don't just date somebody because they look good. First of all, they need to love Jesus. But here's the thing. They need to add value. They need to bring value as you bring value so that your home now has a supply for whatever may come up because you've got Jesus and the value that he's placed in you. Okay? So value creates opportunity. Don't date potential. Oh, but he has potential. I don't know why all this is coming out. Some of y'all must need some dating advice. Amen. Don't date potential. Date pattern. Because if they don't have the right pattern, they'll never live up to their potential. Say, well, I believe that Jesus is a redeemer. I believe that he redeems time and is the God of the second chance like you preached. And he is. But don't date that joker till you see him walking in his second chance. That's why God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. I sow that into your ministry, amen. Hallelujah. I just want to walk with him in the cool of the garden. The only reason they could walk together in the cool of the garden is because he'd been tending the garden. Woo! Maybe we're not walking together in paradise because we ain't been tending our garden. We didn't think we had much to offer, but I believe God's going to raise up some people that says, I got too much treasure in me not to tend what God gave me. That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff right there. Woo! Now listen to this. It's not that you aren't valuable. It's that your treasure is still hidden and God is going to help you uncover it. All right. Now, okay, so we're talking about the treasure, right? We're talking about treasure. We're talking about the value that God placed in you and that there is more value in you than you are operating in right now, okay? And see, I think most of us, look up at me. Do you realize that God wants to uncover things in you that make you more valuable to others? you're already of most value to him. But God can uncover things in you that makes you more valuable to the world that you're called to reach. God! That is good, Lord. That is powerful. We serve a God who wants to uncover the treasure he placed in you to make you more valuable to the world that you are called to reach. In other words, coming to church isn't just something where you can come and feel better about the lower life that you are living. Coming to church and reading your Bible should be about allowing God to uncover the greatness that he's placed inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. If God be for you, who can be against you? There is treasure on the inside of you. And I hope I get to tell you, my God, they tell me my time is up. Who stole all my time? I didn't even get to number one. This is powerful. Treasure, value, potential. God uncovering potential. My pattern will allow God to uncover. But good Lord. My pattern will allow God. What is my pattern? I wake up in the morning and I get in God's presence. I wake up in the morning and I renew my mind with the word of God. I wake up in the morning and do everything I can to live a life that is pleasing to God. And if I make a mistake, I come to God and I repent and I turn and I keep moving forward. My pattern, I love people. I forgive people. I'm kind to people. I'm living the life that Jesus wants me to live. My pattern, hallelujah. I'm on time to work. I serve in God's house. Y'all ain't saying much. I'm faithful to the house of God. I got patterns in my life that is releasing potential. So many of you should be doing so much more in God's house than you are doing. But you are bystanders, you are spectators, and God says, I can't uncover more value in you until... God says, not Jason, God says, the way you treat my house is the way you treat me. God says, you're not going to take care of my things? That means you don't care about me. I bet 80% of you know God has called you to do certain things in this house. Well, you know, I watch those Christian broadcasts sometimes. And then sometimes I even give to them and I pray for them. Awesome. But hear me and write this down. Potential doesn't show up until it gets planted. Where'd all the shouting go? Potential in your life, the God potential in you, does not show up. This is good stuff. Someone ought to be tweeting this, putting this on YouTube, be like, hello, hashtag inspiration. Potential doesn't show up in your life until it gets planted. Potential gets revealed through my pattern. If I can change my pattern, God in heaven, then I can increase my potential. I can live in life. All right, so. That being said, in creation, someone say creation. The Bible says that God created, God said, and it was. Let there be light. Boom. And it was. And then God would create the heavens and the firmament, right? And he saw that it was good. He created the seas and the waters, and he saw that it was good. Created the earth and saw that it was good. Woo! Y'all okay? They tell me I'm supposed to be done, but y'all got to hear this. He said it was good, it was good, it was good, and he created the earth, and he created the seas. Notice what God didn't say. God didn't say, let there be potatoes. But I'm glad that he created potatoes. Come on, somebody. You know, I just like a high protein, like low carb. I like keto. Okay, cool, cool. Like, you know what I like? I like to work out and then eat what I want. Come on, somebody. No, just someone's like, I know that's right. My God, that's my word. Amen. That's some good stuff right there. My God, I got my word from the Lord today. Oh man. So anyway, he didn't say let there be potatoes. He didn't say let there be celery. He didn't say let there be onions. He didn't say, let there be cilantro. Cilantro is from heaven, y'all. I heard there's a restaurant called Cilantro's over in Carmel. I'm going. Hallelujah. Cilantro's amazing, right? I'm married a Puerto Rican, y'all. Smoking hot. Loves Jesus. Pure as they come. And she cooks with sofrito. Come on, somebody. All the white people are like, sofrito. So what? Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about all this. Oh, yeah, now I do. God didn't say, let there be potatoes, let there be cilantro, let there be onions. He didn't say that, right? He said, let the earth bring forth. Oh, God. The potential for the earth to produce onions, carrots, cilantro, all of it was always there, but it did not produce its potential until God spoke to it to release it. Woo! God never said, let there be halibut, let there be salmon, let there be sharks, let there be whale. He just said, let the seas bring forth. The potential was in the sea all along to bring it forth, but it was held back until God spoke to the thing that held it and said, now your potential is going to become a reality. And then when God got ready to create man, he said, let us. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. In other words, God is saying to you, there's potential in you to produce more than you ever have. This morning I'm speaking to your spirit and saying, I need you to change some of your pattern so you can walk in more of your potential. Ooh. Man. This is so much better than I realized. Amen. All right. I don't have time. I simply don't have time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, changing your pattern for some of you is going to be go home this week and recommit yourself to reading the Word of God. Okay? For some of you, it's going to be go home this week and recommit yourself to spending time with the Lord in prayer, whether it be on the way to work, during a break, during a lunch, but you find a place where you can spend time with the Lord. Come on, somebody. Okay, for some of you, it's going to be to step out in faith in this particular venture. I'm going to change my pattern. For some of you, it's going to be, where do you belong? Let me say this, okay? Now, everybody hear me on this one, okay? You have a call of God, not only in the corporate world or in career, but you also have a call of God in God's house. Some of you are looking at me, oh, wait, me? Every Christian has a call of God to serve in the house of God in some capacity. Okay? I can prove it to you in Scripture. Right? That Ephesians chapter 5 says that he's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, prophets for the equipping of the saints. Saints are Christians. Why? For the work of the ministry. So why do you come to church? So you can be equipped to do the work of the ministry. And if you will... And if you will not only fulfill your calling in career, but you will start fulfilling your calling in God's house. This is your house. And you should treat it like your house. I'm going to make sure we got more than enough help in parking. I'm going to make sure we got more than enough help in the ushers. I'm going to make sure we got more than enough help on the stage. If I can sing, if I can run a camera, if I can move some knobs, then I can be in tech. I'm going to make sure we got more than enough help in kick, more than enough help in average. This is my house. This is God's house. You know the Bible says that people in the Bible, just like people today, they started caring more about their house than God's house. And the Bible says that they had holes in their pockets because of it, and their money flew away. If you would start honoring God's house and making a priority of God's house, changing your pattern in that way, money would stop flying away from you and start flying to you. This is better than me. This is better than Jason. This is the Lord talking to you. Okay? Man, I got to change my notes. He just changed everything. You want to walk in your treasure, walk in your potential, you're going to have to change your pattern. Okay, so that pattern changing for you is many of you are going to need to prioritize God's house. Not only be here every week, unless you go on vacation twice or three times a year. Do that. But make sure you prioritize God's house. Church, I used to go to church twice in the morning and Sunday night. Right? I was raised in church, fell asleep on the pews and under the pews. And while they thought, my God, that kid's a hellion. Because I acted like it. Something was getting in me. Something was getting in me that was going to change the rest of my life because we prioritize honoring God's house. Amen? Don't be a casual Christian who doesn't walk in their treasure. Be a Christian who makes sure that they set their pattern to prioritize God's house, and you will walk in greater value and greater treasure than you ever have. If you believe it, give the Lord some praise right now. Hallelujah. Hey, man, some services aren't always fun for preachers. That one was fun for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, did you get some good things this morning? Thank you, Lord. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, Cher's going to play and make me sound more anointed. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you're helping us change our pattern so that we can walk in the potential and the value that you've placed on the inside of us. God, I give you praise. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I simply want you to lift your hand, and we're going to pray a powerful prayer together as a church family. Secondly, you say, you know what, I'm here, but I'm far from God. I've known him, but I need to come back to him. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand, and we're going to pray with you, and we're going to pray for you. If that's you, lift them up. One, two, three, lift them up. Yes, Lord. Hands up all over the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins, and with your grace, help me to turn away from old ways, from sinful ways, and turn to you. And by your grace, change my pattern. I will, with your help, change my pattern, and therefore walk in greater potential, greater value. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody rejoice for every decision.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.